This is your last call for My Wife the Dietitian. The show is just about to start.
Come on, let's go. Hurry up.
I'm trying. I can't get my shoe on.
Welcome to My Wife the Dietitian, a fun weekly podcast about nutrition and healthy lifestyle. I'm Rob, and together with my wife Sandra, we invite you to join us on this informative and entertaining journey through the complex world of healthy eating.
Join us each week as we strive to help you with transforming your overall health and relationship with food through up-to-date, evidence-based nutrition information. We often say either pay now or you pay later with your health. Well, today we talked to Joanne Priestland, who runs a CSA box, which is Community Supported Agriculture. And we talk all about the health benefits for the individual, the family, and the local community, plus the environment.
It takes a mind shift to be like, I deserve wellness. I deserve to feel good. I deserve this great nutrition in my life. This is not a luxury. This is not a splurge. This is medicine. Food is medicine. It can be that simple, and it can dramatically change your health in a short space of time, starting to change how you eat.
Stay with us.
Enjoying the show? You can help others find it and enjoy it too by giving us a 5-star rating or review. If you feel like reaching out to us with a question or comment, you can send us an email at mywifetherd@gmail.com. And don't forget to visit our website at mywifethedietitian.com, as well as our social media pages. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Enjoy the show. Welcome to My Wife the Dietitian. Hello, Sandra.
Hey, Rob.
How's it going?
Good. Today we're interviewing Joanne Priestland from Rome Market Garden and her crop share or CSA box program, so the Community Supported Agriculture box program.
Yes, very exciting.
It is. It's so interesting, and I'm so glad that she's doing this in our area here. We actually subscribed to her box program, so we'll start getting our boxes later in March, and it's a weekly box, and I think it's such a great way to eat local with organic food, with minimal fertilizers and no pesticides, and it's close to home. It's farm to plate, so you're supporting local farmers. It's just so good overall. Like, it just checks all the boxes.
Mm-hmm. You know what else is cool that I'm kind of just realizing this about this whole program? It's kind of like the world was, you know, 100 years ago when, like, you know, Mr. Smith made the bread and Mrs. Patterson grew the garden, and then someone else had the cow that had the milk, and everybody just shared, you know? And like, so that's kind of like what it's doing. That's the way Joanne explained it, is, you know, it's like she's feeding 30 people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you're right. I never thought of it that way before, but
yeah. And they're all part of her family, she said.
Exactly.
I mean, the people who sign up, and she wants to make sure that all the boxes are similar equally, and every week they're getting the value that so it's amazing, actually, all the work that goes into it. Like, it's a full-time year-long job, and she loves it. She's passionate about it.
Oh, totally.
And there's so many different reasons why in her mind that she's doing this. And this is what we're talking about today with her. And it's going to be such a great episode.
Plus, she has a great accent.
Yeah, from Australia.
It's always a winner too, you know. We've had a few people with fun accents on this show, and it's always fun to, I don't know. We have an accent too, I'm sure, for some people, depending on where they're listening in the world. But yeah, it's always enjoyable hearing that. So yeah, stick around. We'll be right back with Joanne. It's a fun interview.
Hi, we're here with Joanne Priestland from Rome Market Garden. Joanne, thanks so much for taking your time out of gardening and your own backyard garden to talk to us and the listeners. And could you let us know who you are and what you do in your life and who you help?
Okay. I'm Joanne, and I run Rome Market Garden. So basically, I'm a small-scale intensive farmer, and I started last year with just a small 14-row plot, and we expanded that last year to increase our garlic and stuff. And so this year we have probably about 30 rows this year that we're going to be working with. So we've expanded that a bit, and we're just trying to reach out to the community with what I believe is some of the best, freshest, most nutritionally dense food you can buy, yes, and make it as available as possible.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. I love
it. It's so needed in this time. You know, there's so much concern about the health of the produce, especially, that it's nice to see these CSA programs popping up. And, you know, the more local, the better, I would think, right?
Absolutely. The less miles your food has to travel, the better. It's just less fuel consumption. It's less storage. It's, you know, your food is grown in your region and it's fresh to you that day. When I harvest for my clients, I harvest that morning, and by that afternoon it's in your fridge. And
wow.
And that's how I like it. I don't want to have to try to keep everything fresh and stored long term. I want you to get it as soon as you can and start enjoying it, full of nutrition and color and vitality and goodness.
Yes.
Yeah, right yes. from the ground to the yeah. plate. That's probably a yeah. slogan in that industry, right?
Yeah, farm to plate, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
but
that's it.
It just feels like a different product than, you know, what you're getting in the supermarkets. It's just not the same thing.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Yeah. I remember years ago, and I don't know how long ago, but I remember noticing the produce in the grocery stores all of a sudden became really big and plump and perfect. And it's mm-hmm. like, wow, look at the size of these peppers and these cucumbers. And it's like, oh my God, they look so good. And you think that that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. But now you realize it's like, there's a reason they look like that. You know, they're pumped mm-hmm. full of who knows what to make them look perfect. And they get mm-hmm. rid of all the stuff that's imperfect. And, you know, so it leaves you wondering what we're actually eating and where it's from and why it looks like that.
I was in the supermarket the other day, passing a mom I know, and we kept giving each other this look, and I'm picking up cucumbers that are, you know, they were $3.50, close to $4 each, and picking them up, and they're like soft to touch. Mm-hmm. Like they're not even good sitting there to go out the store. And I'm just yeah. like, why, how are we paying this much for food that's not even good when you're taking it out of the door? And mm-hmm. it's not fair. And we don't, you know, we're pretty isolated here in terms of one road in, one road out kind of thing. And we saw this last year when our highway was shut down. We need better solutions for our food system here. And we have this incredible agricultural mecca, I like to call it, you know, this great soil, you know, good temperate climate, you know, everything we need to be more self-sufficient and resilient. And we need to step away from this kind of megastore model and mm-hmm. start looking at ourselves again and what we can do for ourselves.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. That was an example of a ramble.
No, that's awesome. Thank you so much. I want to rewind a little bit because Rob mentioned something and I want to make sure that the listeners know what we're talking about. So what is a CSA box program?
Okay, so CSA stands for Community Supported Agriculture. And so what that basically means is that through the winter, I come up with a crop plan and I decide I can grow this much food, which means I could produce this many shares for this many families for this many weeks. And so this year I decided I wanted to run a 22-week program and I wanted to share that with 30 families. So that was my goal. And so I reach out to the community and say, who would like to buy a veggie box subscription for the year? And then people pay upfront for that subscription, which allows me to buy really important things I need to set up my season. Like last year, I actually bought my BCS tractor, which builds all of my raised bed systems. This year, we're looking towards building a hoop house. But it also pays for all your tools, your seeds, your fertilizers, all your irrigation inputs, everything you need to run your farm. And then you do your best under whatever circumstances you're given to grow that food.
Like the weather, you mean?
Everything, you know. Sometimes you don't get good germination. Sometimes it's the weather. Sometimes, you know, it's predators and things like that. We have stuff that you will steal stuff out of the garden and things like that. Right. So everybody wants a piece. So there's a lot of risk. And so basically we share that risk together. And no matter what the season brings, we all get a share of that. But my goal every week is to make sure that each customer gets $30 value. And that's kind of an average over the season. I track it all. So it might be like $26 at the start or something like that. And then $34 later on. And then we just, I keep bringing food until you've got what you paid for. So
love it. Yeah. And we're on your program. I'm really excited about starting to receive. And I know in the spring, it's less because it's like if it's been a cold winter or whatever circumstance. So
yeah,
that's awesome.
It's startup time. And so you have a limited amount of stuff that does really well in that cold weather in the early season. And then as the weather warms up and the soil warms up, more and more crops come online. And then, you know, you have your fall crops to rely on going into the winter there. So it kind of comes in sort of three waves, I feel like. And you just kind of ride those waves, and there's going to be low moments and high moments. And
totally.
This year we're excited because we get to do a little bit more in terms of value adding with our products too. You know, having the freeze dryer online now means we can do a lot more. And we expanded our garlic. So we have 4,000 heads of garlic in the ground right now. And we were testing out some skate products last year that we wanted to do en masse this year. And so it's like, how can we make the most out of everything that we're growing? It's like a nose to tail of the veggie garden eating, I like to think of it.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Is there like, do you have like what's your why in terms of like, why did you get into this? It's like being a farmer is not like about making money. I don't think, right?
No, it is not.
So there's got to be a deeper reason, right? That you're so passionate and you got into this whole area.
Absolutely. So back in Australia, I actually trained as a naturopath. And so I was a qualified naturopath in Australia and have 3 years of nutrition training behind me.
Oh.
And when I came to Canada, my qualifications weren't recognized here and I was going to have to go back and do some quite intensive retraining to get that qualification again. And it wasn't really accessible to me where we were setting up our life and when I was raising my babies and things. And and of course, my focus then became on raising my young family and wanting to make sure they had the most nutritionally dense food that they could access. And so I started to shift my perspective away from the kind of herbal medicine kind of aspect of things and started to look at how we could grow the best food and get the most nutrition from that food and what that would look like. And so I just started to grow. And my first couple of years, I didn't really have good spaces to do it. And I didn't know what I was doing. And it was kind of on the fly. And then I started to have some health challenges and, I had to kind of rethink life a little bit, and it made me kind of change track. And I really started to get serious about growing the food and wanting to build my life around the kids. And it just sort of started to evolve from that. And
So interesting. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's definitely like kids are a lot of reason for a lot of people that, you know, the reason they do things is like to make sure the kids are safe and healthy and growing well. And that totally makes sense in your case too. And I mean, you've had quite a few years of different, like helping with different farms around our local area here, which is awesome. And helping people become farmers and trying to like, you know, improve our resilience in terms of the area we live in so that there's more sustainability and diversity. And like, so why, like, I'm just wondering, like, as someone's listening, a listener of the podcast, why would a person invest in a CSA box program in their local area instead of just getting their produce at the grocery store or a shopping center like a, you know, Costco or something like that?
I think there's a lot of different reasons for people to want to be involved in this. I think the writing's on the wall and has been for a long time. We're in trouble as a people, and our environment is struggling and suffering. We need to start truly focusing on our food sovereignty and our food security. I say it often, we're in this beautiful, incredible part of the world that we've chosen to be in on purpose, but it makes us a little bit remote. You know, we have this one road in and out, and last year that road was shut down for a good several months. And before that, we had COVID and we had food issues and things like that. We need to be able to access food locally. I think I can't remember this statistic exactly now, but going back a few decades, the island could produce like 80-90% of its own food. And the statistic now is closer to like 8%.
Wow.
Which is staggering, right? You think of the power that is stripped from people when they have to rely on these systems. Of course, we don't have a choice about the quality of food and how much we're paying for it. We don't have a diversified system in place to make sure that there's healthy competition and locally sourced food for people to consume. And so we absolutely need to be creating more farming situations for people in this area and creating more local food opportunities for people, because it is a luxury now, maybe. People think maybe it's a luxury now, but it is going to be a necessity, I believe. And and I think our food systems are making us unwell.
Right, right.
And I think we need to step back from them and take a look at what real food and what real nutrition is, and look at how our food systems have changed over the last few decades, and see how that correlates to our health issues too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you just think of, you know, there's so many, you think food products, you know, that's actually a term.
Food like substances.
Foods like substances. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, what? There's like
may contain food.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we wonder why people are allergic to everything. Are they allergic to food, or are they allergic to everything that's not really supposed to be in food that's in food?
Like microplastics.
Right. Absolutely. Yep. And pesticides and the everything. Like, I don't even know what most of the ingredients are in the stuff that is, you know, we pay a fortune for these snackable things for kids' lunchboxes and stuff, and I don't even know what half the ingredients in them are. And it's terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I know.
It's just keep it simple. We don't.
Well, that was the other question, because this like leads right into it. Like, we often say you either pay now or pay later with your health, like in terms of, you know, you either pay a little bit more money or you know, like join a box program, because then you pay like, what, you know, $500-$700 one time. And then you get weekly groceries. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing is the health benefits. Like, what are the health benefits for the family, the local community, for the individual, when people support, like when consumers support a local CSA box to help the local farmers? What's the health benefits for the individual or the family?
Well, I think we all do better. You mean like for me personally as the farmer, or for the person receiving the box?
That's a really good question. Well, both, but let's talk about the person receiving the box. Like, I'd like to get more people thinking about joining CSA boxes in all around North America, all around the world. Like, if they can support their local farmer somehow, like, why, like, what's in it for them, like, health-wise?
Well, as I said before, I cut that produce for you, and then I bring it, it comes straight to you, and then that's it. That's the end of the chain. The nutrition that is still in that food when you get it is significantly higher than something that has been grown far, far away with inorganic inputs and then refrigerated and stored and transported and then stored again. And, you know, it could be several weeks old by the time you purchase it, and then you get it home and it wilts and is gone because it's got no life left in it. It had nothing left to give. But you get my bunch of kale and you put it in a vase of water and just keep it on your counter even, or keep it in the fridge. And it's going to stay crisp and good to use for a long time. And then you can store it in the fridge and it will stay firm and green and dense. And so you have a better product for longer. This stuff is lasting. And I try to focus on kind of growing the staples that we need every day, you know, the onions and the carrots and the garlic and the tomatoes and the herbs and things like that, so that they can contribute to your base of your meals every day. You know, they're versatile in how they can be used. And I just think that they're not really the same products. And these are grown with love. And I think that counts for a lot too. I'm a soil farmer, first and foremost. My goal is to develop healthy soils so that optimum nutrient uptake can happen. And if you don't have good soils, it doesn't matter how much fertilizer you put into that soil, the plant can't take it up into the system, right? So I'm working really hard on creating healthy soils. And when you support a person like me, you know, I do a little dance every time someone signs up. I make a little like squeaky noise of delight and excitement because I get to, you know, put this hoop house together, or I get to, you know, do these seeds, or I, you know, I get to pay off my line of credit, or, you know, something like that. You know, these are massive things for me. And the grocery store is not loving you like I do.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's these little interactions too. When people come and pick up their veggie box too, they're excited to see what's in it. I try to change it up and include goodies here and there that you don't get every week. And we have a little chit chat on the doorstep. And, you know, it's just a lovely way to interact with the community. And like, I love my farmers markets, and I'm going to try to be there this year with more things. But it's much harder for me to keep my produce looking good and keep it in its best state on a warm day at the market and things like that. And so I like this method of I pack it up, I get it all ready, and then you just come pick it up and take it, and there's no messing around, there's nothing in the middle, and we have a nice visit, and life is good.
Yeah. The difference is hugely noticeable too. I know when we started getting, we've done it a few different times over the years, but the difference in just the appearance and how fresh and how, like you said, how alive the produce looks, you know, it's like getting it from your neighbor's garden. It's pretty much what it is, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, like you said, it's grown with love, and that shows. It's just, you're getting something just full of life, and the flavors are, you know, there's no comparison. Biting into a fresh pepper compared to something that you get at the store that often tastes like it's full of toxins, and it's it's so
traveled.
Worth it.
It's been traveling, it's, like, right?
Yeah, it's come from who knows where.
Yeah, I sometimes feel like I'll get the odd tomato here and there. I think we had one this week, and it feels a little bit like a hologram. Like it looks like a tomato. It squeaks like a tomato, but it's just like, it doesn't taste like a tomato. It doesn't lift you up like a tomato should. You know? And I'm also a foodie as well, which is part of this whole journey too. I love good food. So yeah, it excites me to have fantastic produce. And Dan and I, we take pictures of all of our dishes, and it's just like, oh, how much would you pay for that in a restaurant?
We do that too. Exactly. That's hilarious.
Right? Oh, that'd be like $32 in a restaurant.
That's funny.
We did that. It's all ours.
I know. And it's such a creative process, cooking, really. You know, it's like science and art. It's like such because you can create your own masterpieces with the ingredients you have in your garden. And I think it's just such a, it's a cool, I think we're losing the art of cooking, like just like knowing what to do with produce. I think that's part of the barrier for people.
Yeah. So it's, and I want to do better at that this year in terms of, we did a little bit last year, but little tips on this is my favorite way to do this veggie and you should try this way. And what was your favorite way to do it last week? You know, show me your dishes that you made and things like that. And I want a bit more of the back and forth there with that kind of thing so that people, I mean, and this is the thing, we're so not used to real seasonal vital food that sometimes we can look at stuff and be like, well, I don't know what to do with that.
Totally.
What am I going to do with this? This is no good to me, you know? And that can be a barrier right there for people, is they might like the idea of a CSA, but then ultimately are not really sure they're going to like what's in it and they're not going to know what to do with it and things like that. So I think that becomes a part of building the interest too, is just making it more accessible to people.
I like that you're sort of thinking about what most people need and trying to include that, you know, like the regular stuff, because we've gotten CSA boxes before and it's loaded with a bunch of stuff that we're never going to use, or that is like, okay, now we got to figure out how to cook this, you know, 18 pounds of whatever this stuff is, and it's not what we normally eat, so then we still have to go out and buy that stuff, so it's kind of it's not really, you're not winning, you know.
And that's the thing for me, is because you guys are basically an extension of my family now, right? This is the garden I'm growing for my family so that we can survive year round. This is the stuff that I want to be able to can and freeze dry and live off year round. And we're sharing this with the community, right? So I want it to be that kind of thing where it's your staples that you want and need. And because that's where you build those layers of nutrition, right? We all love to hide a million veggies in a sauce for the kids in a bolognese and things like that. So yeah, it's just about, we have to keep it real, right? We need to really use this stuff.
Totally.
And I'm working on building up the microgreens right now and things like that. And I do like to try different things each year. Like I haven't done quinoa before, but I really want to see it in flower and I think my bees would like it. And so I would really like to try that this year. And so I tried something weird last year that I really liked. So I'm going to try to do a bit more of that this year because
I love that.
Yeah, I am doing.
It adds nitrogen, right? Like, is quinoa one of those like
nitrogen
fixers? Yeah.
It might be. I'm not sure about quinoa. I've still got some learning to do on that. But I'd like to sort of be able to start building more kind of grains and things into the CSA and things like that. So we're going to do
herbs?
A test.
Do you
on
have
that.
Herbs like
working
sage
on
or...
it? We're expanding every year. I'm starting a bunch of stuff herbs right now, and I'm about to get like all of the kind of basils and parsleys and corianders and all that kind of stuff going. I'm trying to start some rosemary from seed. I'm probably going to go out and get some starts to get going with those this year. I think propagating rosemary would be easier than starting it from seed.
And then once it grows, it just spreads, eh? Rosemary is like so hardy because it's like, it's almost like an evergreen. Yeah, yes. It's so good.
I have to say I've killed a lot of rosemary in my life, though. So.
I find basil is tricky. Cilantro are like more sensitive like harder to grow. But
yeah, but I did well with the basil last year. It just never quit. And so I'm going to try to repeat that again this year. And we're going to try some basil microgreens too, actually.
Nice.
So I'm interested to see how that goes.
Love it.
But so that's a fun little venture. But
Do you guys have mushrooms? Do you ever do like mushroom logs or like a,
working on it.
In the plans. That's awesome.
I've had a few mushroom experiments in the past, like lasagna style, that have done really well. But we're gifted some spent blocks from one of Dan's friends last year that we kind of dug into the compost and tried a few things there. And so we have like little patches of oyster mushrooms that'll come up here and there. And we'd like to get really good at compost, and we'd really like to inoculate the whole farm with different kinds of mushrooms and things like that. And I think it's really interesting for soil immunity too. And so I'm really interested in mushrooms for sure. But I'd like to get some culinary stuff going. I was looking it up last night actually, and keep filling up these shopping carts and then being like, just cool your heels, Joe. Just hang tight for a minute. You're just on so a spending spree. Awesome.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I had a question. You said about the allergies and like that, why we have so many. This is so interesting because I was just at a prenatal group in a different town this past week. And one of the babies, 5 month old, is just starting to have like this rash on their cheek. And they haven't changed anything in the diet because not on solid foods yet. And so we all started having a discussion in the group about, you know, the amount of allergies that are increasing in our society, like allergies and intolerances. And like you said, is it the food or is it like what's like all the different, you
well,
think
and
of
not
the
just
things that are in the food. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's layered on like all the Wi-Fi frequencies and the pollution and, you know, it's just, it's stressor after stressor after stressor stacked on top of each other that our immune systems are having to cope with. And we don't give our immune systems the nutrition they need to function properly in the first place. So we get exhausted. We get, we can't cope with everything. And so we start to develop these like chronic situations. And yeah, when we see it in babies and our pets, like my pet, my dog is having issues right now with allergies. And I'm just like, for goodness sake. And you know, that those allergies are often part of that atopic constitution, right? And they come with the eczema and the asthma and things like that later on. It's funny, Dan and I were talking about that this morning too. And yeah, we need to start nourishing ourselves. And I think, when we're small scale farming too, it's answering a lot of different environmental issues that I'm concerned about in the world too, and just how we're simplifying life or needing to simplify life and get back to the basics. It's a scary world out there.
I know. And I mean, just like, I think it is such a important for people to think, okay, what can I do in my own life and my own environment? Because it can become overwhelming and you feel hopeless about the, you know, just all the issues. And this is one really actionable strategy people can take.
100%.
Support a CSA because they're all around North America, like in different cities, in different communities, and there's options for people to try to support local farmers and try to help in any way, because it is really important, the resiliency and to the sustainability aspect, for people to know that if you're eating local and you know that it probably doesn't have a lot of pesticides or chemical fertilizers. It's naturally grown. It's organic. So you're kind of reducing all those layers of risk in your own life and your own family and the own kind of micro environment. And so like, this is one thing that people can really do. And I think it's just, it's planning, right? Like, I think people are so stressed, they don't have time, and to 100%. Think like, oh my God, like 6 months like of produce boxes for a week, like that just seems like, why would I spend money now if I can just go when I need the food and, you know, go to the grocery store and pick up what I need? But there's a reason. There's like, it's such a, I think it's so important that people can like step back and try to plan and try to do this, because like you said, it's like, it's such a not easy at like step, but it's a great way to
get our food. It's in the plus column, right? It's some, you know, when you're actually putting something nutritionally dense into your body, it's a plus in that column. You know, you're working towards the beginning of your healing journey and things like that. And when I mentioned earlier about my interest in soil health and the microbial health of the soil, for me, that is mirrored in our own gut microbiomes and our systems of nutrient uptake in our own bodies. And our gut microbiomes are being decimated by these diets too, right? And so we're losing the capacity to even draw nutrition from our food and things like that. And so figuring out how to deliver nutrition and cut all that other stuff out is just, and it doesn't have to be complicated. It's actually simplifying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's prioritizing health too. You know, it's amazing how many people don't think about their health until they need to. You know, they have a health scare, mm-hmm. they have some kind, you know, something happens, they get sick, and mm-hmm. then they're like, oh, I better start paying attention to mm-hmm. what I'm eating, and all these things matter all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. But they've always yeah. mattered. It's just they've, you know, they're too busy mm-hmm. with their life, and it's easy to just run to the store and grab what you need, but you're not really realizing that it's causing you harm.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a cancer survivor too. And, you know, I understand what it's like to kind of, put all everybody else in your life first and sort of become more and more depleted and not focused on your own health and well-being. And even when it's your world and you're focusing on everybody else's health and well-being and that kind of thing. And it takes a mind shift to be like, I deserve wellness. I deserve to feel good. I deserve this great nutrition in my life. This is not a luxury. This is not a splurge. This is medicine.
Exactly.
This is yeah. food as medicine. And it can be that simple, and it can dramatically change your health in a short space of time, starting mm-hmm. to change wow. how you eat.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Pay now or pay later, right? Like Sandra
Absolutely.
Was saying before.
Yeah. 100%.
That's pretty accurate.
Mm-hmm. No
it
doubt.
Is. It is hard, though. It's an uphill battle for an individual because just like all the different forces in our environment in terms of the advertising about different food products. And then, you know, you just mm-hmm. see all the like, oh, the cheap fast food that's available. And then, you know, we're busy. So we just need to eat something because, you know, we're hungry. And then
that's key right there.
Yeah.
People being so busy in their lives that they don't have time for cooking. When having time for cooking that's a survival method. That's not a luxury. Again, that's how people survive. And we live in this environment, in this world that's so fast paced. The kids have 8 activities. There's, you know, we've been at work all day. We're on the fly. We're eating on the run. And yeah, it has to be a choice you make to simplify, I think. And, you know, you have to have a life and things like that too. But it's interesting to me. Like I'm, like you said before, I'm not in this for the money, but in a sense I am too, because going to the grocery store is a scary thing for me, but knowing I have access to real food takes a lot of that anxiety and fear away, because, you know, if you have access to the staples, you can create anything and you're going to be okay. But it's when you feel like you're cut off from those essentials that people start to get pretty scared and stressed about how they're living.
Oh, absolutely. And actually, we did an episode recently about reducing food waste and all that, and about Instant Pots and how incredibly awesome that appliance is in the kitchen, because you can pretty much put, you know, whatever types of vegetables in there and herbs and spices and maybe some meat or beans. And it's just like you can make these great creations of healthy, delicious food that doesn't take a lot of time and ends up feeding like a lot of people, like the whole family. So, I mean, just getting some basics like that, basic skills for learning how to use an Instant Pot or a crock pot is just helpful for families to reduce the, you know, the time in the kitchen. And like, if that's the barrier for people.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that I continually have to work at too. I love to be able to kind of build these pots out of what seems to be just kind of meager things, and then have them have the whole house smelling like heaven. And, you know, it's so wonderful, and it makes you feel rich, you know. There's something about just having a pot of something good, smelling good and nutritious, that makes you feel incredible. And, I often say like, I'm too poor to eat this good.
I I love it.
But yeah, you know, you take these like little pieces of meat and we'll put them into the slow cooker with all of this stuff and shred like, you know, a couple of chicken breasts that wouldn't feed a family of five on their own, but you know, shredded through this dish, this hot pot or whatever's on the stove, and it just feeds five people all of a sudden, no problem, and away you go. And you know, it's just amazing.
It sure is. Oh, I love it. Yes, that is oh my goodness. Wow. Well, thank you so much for all of the information and taking your time away from your garden and all of the great things you're doing with the soil too, which is such an important part. I always hear like, you know, the soil, like if you think of your teeth as like the environment and your gums are the soil and your teeth are like the plants, and you got to have healthy gums. I don't know why I'm bringing it back to this, but it's just, it reminds me of that.
That's very funny.
Back to the, you know, health of our oral, like our teeth. But
yes,
it's just the soil is like so key to healthy food and healthy produce and, and to our environment and our earth. Like I heard that.
Yeah. We owe it to ourselves to rebuild our soils.
Yes. Yeah.
We owe it to our kids.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It used to be like 30 feet or some crazy amount of like compostable soil around the whole earth. And now we're down to like, I don't know, not much.
Yeah, we've tilled it into dust and it's blown away and it's ended up in the oceans. And it's not good. But the good news is that with regenerative farming practices, you can rebuild that topsoil. It is possible to do better. And these are the amazing farmers of the future that are really getting to grips with the environmental stuff. And And we're going to build a better world through better farming practices, I think. So
I'm so hopeful. I really am, because I feel like people are getting smarter and we're getting more innovative and resilient. And I think it's becoming cool to be a farmer. That's the
other
cool thing.
I think I'm pretty cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It is becoming a bit kind of a trendy thing, but in a good way, you know?
But it's come out of necessity, right? It's people see what's coming and we want to get ahead of this. I tell people I'm on a quest to relearn vintage skills because we're going to have to get back to that. And, but anyway, that's a whole nother ramble. So,
I like that though. That is so true. Like basically, like cooking and sewing clothes.
Yes.
Like just
yes,
yeah, yeah.
And like, just you know, how do we do a better job of reusing the things that we have too? And like just everything. Once you go down this rabbit hole, it's pretty ongoing. But
it's a whole homesteading kind of movement, right?
Yeah, but it doesn't even have to be big. Like a homestead sounds big, but it's like there's so much you can do in your own backyard. You'd be absolutely blown away if you knew what you could accomplish in your own backyard.
Yeah.
You know, bring back the victory garden.
Yeah.
You need to do an online course, Joanne.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey,
little YouTube channel and Joanne's Garden and how to do it at home and. You know, seriously,
It would be super fun. Somebody has talked to me about doing things like that and how you build that as part of my own resiliency and, you know, create revenue streams for myself and things like that too. And so, I mean, these are all exciting things to kind of think about working towards. But in the meantime, like I'm no expert, I'm just on this journey, figuring it out on the fly like everybody else. And but I love to share what I'm learning because I want other people to be interested too. And I want to build that resiliency. So I like opportunities like this where I get to just, chat, talk
awesome.
About the stuff I love.
We have one more question for you. And I'm really kind of curious what your answer is to this. It's something we ask all of our guests. It's an easy one. Although it stumps a few people. It's kind of funny, but anyway, if you're going to go to a potluck dinner, what would you bring?
I was thinking about that. There's lots of different things I love to bring, but if I'm going somewhere, you know, I have lots of incredible dried fruits, and Dan does this fantastic smoked salmon, and we love to build like just gorgeous platters. And I think we even had your figs one year that we dehydrated, and you know, just putting all of those gorgeous colors together on a plate, and with gorgeous cheeses and things like that.
That sounds
awesome.
It's
one of my faves. Yeah, I just love fresh fruit and things like that. And I just love to bring in something that is just colorful and beautiful and everyone can dig into. So, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Smart. Delicious. Like a charcuterie board almost.
Yeah.
But your own homestead.
Yeah,
like your
with
own.
Our own goodies. Yeah. We make kimchi and stuff like that. So there's like a blob of kimchi in there, and, you know, just things like that. And we do the pickled garlic scapes now. And so they're really good on there too. And yeah, nice. Just lots of goodies. So
do you sell that kimchi?
we're working on it again. This was we did a big tester batch this year. Again, it's the same, you know, everything comes out of the garden, but it's the same kind of basics that go into every dish that become your kimchi later on in the season and things like that. So it's really good.
Yeah, we eat a ton of that stuff. It's so good.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. We have this
really
recipe
is.
That's just so great. And we made a lot more of it this year. So yeah, these are things that we'd like to work towards being able to sell going forward. And, you know, all the preserves and things like that. And trying to work out, you know, tomato sauces for the freeze dryer so we can do tomato powders and things like that. And
yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of goodies on the way for sure. Lots of value-added stuff.
Sounds like you're pretty passionate about it, Joanne. That's so good that you're excited about what you're doing, you know, moving forward. And it's not just like a grind for you.
No, it's my world. And this is what I mean. If you choose to support me in doing this, it's what I want to do with my life. And and I appreciate it so very much. So yeah, thank you.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, awesome. Mm-hmm. And we will definitely have a link to your your Rome Market Garden.
Rome Market Garden. Yeah. I'm on Facebook right now, and I can leave my email and things like that as well. And I will do my best to get back to you with all of my technology issues.
Oh, that's awesome, Joanne. Well, it's been such a pleasure to talk with you and pick your brain.
You
and
thanks for
get
having
like
me.
Big picture and then micro local.
Micro picture, the right now picture. Right. Yeah, and this is the thing. You've got your long-term goals, your short-term goals, your, oh my God, I should do this yesterday goals. And
totally. That's awesome.
It's just a cycle. God.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much. This has been awesome. And we look forward to getting our first box whenever that happens. And yesterday was like National CSA Day, like I just read about, which is so interesting.
Yeah.
February 28th. So I think it's in the States, but that's really cool.
Thanks
you have a day.
For the heads up on that. I want a hat now.
Yeah, right.
That's right. That's right.
On that note, I will go carry on building my CSA in the garage.
There you go.
Sounds awesome. Thank you so much, Joanne.
Thanks, pleasure.
Joanne.
Thanks for having me. Take care. Okay. Bye-bye.
You as well. Bye-bye. Cheers. Now, there's someone who loves what they do, hey?
Oh, yeah. She's passionate about it. It's great.
I bet she's got a really green thumb. Actually, I saw a picture on her Facebook page the other day. She had like these bandaged fingers, so maybe it was a green thumb kind of accident.
Kind of accident, exactly.
Yeah. That's one of the dangers of that, right? No, watch out.
I love when she said, "This is my world and it's what I want to do."
Yeah.
I love that.
I love hearing that from anybody, but I mean, especially like someone like herself, she's growing food. I mean, it's doesn't get much more wholesome than that, you know?
Yeah, it's so neat. I love that she wants to get the message out there for more people to just start planting food in their garden and harvesting more. And this gives us food sovereignty and food security in regions that might be remote and rural. And, you know, it's so great to see that there's less miles for your food to travel. And it's grown in your region, so it's fresh that day, harvest in the morning, in the fridge or on your counter in the afternoon. Like, how nutritious is that? It's so good. It's like food from the earth and it's farm to plate.
Yeah. It doesn't get much more local than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I agree. I really like that she's kind of stressing community and keeping it local. And there's so many benefits. I mean, it's not just the quality of the food. I mean, there's so many more benefits to working with a local farmer. And it's really good to see that she's doing that. Well, we're going to post a few links to Joanne on our, well, in the show notes. And we're also going to throw, she's got a little video that she was featured in. So we're going to put that on our Facebook page. I don't know if we can put it on Instagram or not, but we'll definitely share it as much as we can on our social media, because it's a really good, it just gives you a bit more information. And it's kind of nice just to see Joanne and where she's working at and what she's up to. And it's good for her, obviously, too. So
are you talking about a little clip from the local news station and TV spot?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. It's just like a little feature that she was in. So we'll share that. She is on Facebook as well under Rome Market Garden. So you can check her out there. And as always, you can check out our Facebook page and our Instagram page and our YouTube page and our website. We're at mywifethedietitian.com. If you have questions, comments, any sort of thing like that, you can email those to us at mywifetherd@gmail.com.
Yeah. And any feedback or input. So any questions, we love hearing from the people that are listening and getting your questions about diet, nutrition, healthy eating for yourself or your family, ways to improve your diet or your nutrition. And we love to hear from people. So please send in your questions.
Absolutely. And while you're on the website, you can sign up for our newsletter. We've started a weekly newsletter. You just sign up. There's a sign up button on most of the pages on the website. So you can sign up for that, and we will be sending information about what we're doing, what we've done, updates on what's coming up, you know, odds and ends, whatever we kind of feel like throwing at you that week. So put your name on the list and you can stay up to date with everything we're doing.
Yeah, it makes it easy. There's people that have said, oh, it's so easy. It comes in my inbox and I just click on the link and then I hear the latest episode and see the latest blog. So it just makes easy to find us.
Yeah, it's a bit of a collection of everything we've done in the week, and you know, all the links are there, so it is kind of nice that way. And don't forget to rate and review the show. That's always helpful, like we ask every week. Everyone everywhere always wants you to rate and review, and there is a reason. It does help with ratings. It's how the system works, and
it helps people find it. It helps more people see it.
It does. You know, and when I'm buying something online, that's what I look at. I look at what other people have said. I look at their ratings, and it does help people choose what they're going to consume, and in this case, what they're going to listen to. So, yeah, give us a hand with that if you can. A rating, or if you feel kind of wordy, then throw a review out on whatever platform you're using. That would be appreciated. We will be back on Wednesday with Nutrition Nuggets.
I think we're going to do Smash.
Oh, sardines, mackerel, anchovies, salmon, and herring.
The low mercury fish.
Yeah, exactly. The omega-3, your big source of omega-3. So that'll be Wednesday, all about the little fishes. Well, thanks for coming out. Thanks, Joanne, for joining us today. I hope everyone enjoyed listening to what she's been up to and in her world. So make sure to check her stuff out. And we will be back Wednesday with Nutrition Nuggets. Thanks for joining us today on My Wife the Dietitian. If you like what you heard, don't be shy. Leave us a comment or review and be sure to share our podcast with your friends. If you'd like to hear more, hit that subscribe button. You can also follow us on our social media pages for updates, episode trailers, and other odds and ends. For more info and links on what we discussed on today's episode, check the show notes. We'll be back next week with another informative and fun-filled episode. We'll be right back.